U.S. officials agreed today to submit written responses next week to Russia's demands on how to end the crisis over Ukraine. The announcement came during a high-level diplomatic meeting in Geneva, as Russia maintains overwhelming military force along the Ukrainian border and has now deployed troops to neighboring Belarus. Here's Nick Schifrin.
In Geneva today, the U.S. and Russia's top diplomats agreed to keep the diplomatic path open. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said talks would continue.
We anticipate that we will be able to share with Russia our concerns and ideas in more detail and in writing next week. And we agreed to further discussions after that.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov called Russia's demands legitimate.
Our concerns are not about the imaginary, but about the real threats and facts nobody is really hiding. Stuffing Ukraine with weapons, sending hundreds of Western military trainers.
But near Ukraine's border, it is Russian weapons that aren't hiding. Today, the Russian Defense Ministry released new video of soldiers training with the tanks they would use to launch a full-scale invasion. And with the Russian tanks and troops that arrived this week in Belarus, the U.S. says about 100,000 Russian troops surround Ukraine in a half dozen locations. The troops in Belarus are only a few hundred miles north of Kyiv and could link up to surround Kyiv with troops in nearby Klimovo, where the Russian buildup can be seen in satellite photos released this week. Today, Blinken warned the threat to Ukraine's government was diverse and possibly fatal.
And we've seen plans to undertake a variety of destabilizing actions, some of them short of the overt use of force, to destabilize Ukraine, to topple the government.
In response, the West is accelerating military aid. This week, the U.S. fast-tracked more Javelin anti-tank missiles that senior U.S. officials say are now deployed to key transit points. And for the first time, the U.S. authorized the transfer from Baltic allies of surface-to-air Stinger missiles. They can target Russian helicopters and low-flying jets, used most famously to help the Afghan resistance defeat the Soviet military in the 1980s. Ukraine has also deployed drones from NATO member Turkey that have successfully targeted Russian tanks in previous conflicts. In eastern Ukraine this week, Ukrainian soldiers said the support supplies some solace.
It shows that we are not alone, that we have support, and we can count on our forces and our allies' power.
But the U.S. has rejected the idea of supplementing Ukraine's military with its own forces, and the Russian forces just across the border are overwhelming.
For more on Russia's posture on Ukraine's borders and what the U.S. and West are doing about it, we turn to Michael Kaufman, Research Program Director in the Russia Studies Program at the Center for Naval Analyses, or CNA. Michael Kaufman, welcome back to the NewsHour. We've seen this week the U.S., the U.K. rush weapons to Ukraine, including those Stinger surface-to-air missiles. What's the significance of that?
You know, it's a big development that the United States and other countries are willing to rush military equipment and weapons to Ukraine at this stage. Unfortunately, it's not going to make a strategic difference in a conflict, and I don't think it's necessarily going to deter Russia. In this respect, you see the United States basically now preparing for the worst. I think there's to some extent almost a resignation that conflict is very likely.
Stingers, of course, can target Russian helicopters, even Russian jets flying below a certain altitude. Why don't they change the calculus?
You know, Russian military retains tremendous quantitative and qualitative superiority over Ukraine's military. While it is going to do something, and it will in the margins raise the cost of a Russian military effort, depending on what the actual military campaign might be, it's ultimately indecisive or indeterminate towards the outcome, nor will the other tactical level capabilities like anti-tank missiles and the like.
So even if what we've been talking about, some of these new weapons that are being forwarded to Ukraine, doesn't make a huge difference in the calculus, how are Ukrainians situated on the ground to be able to exert at least some cost on Russia?
So the Ukrainian military is actually positioned to deny any kind of smaller incursion. That's why a Russian military campaign would have to be much larger than what we've seen before and involve the use of air power. But Ukraine's military is not in a position to defend what is the largest country in Europe. Much of Ukraine's military power is concentrated very much forward east. It is easily cut off or encircled, and it's likely Russian forces would conduct a multi-axis attack across Ukraine's eastern regions, the south, and the north. Ukraine's military is simply not in a position to defend all these fronts, which are with a much smaller force and big shortages in logistics, air defense, and the like.
What has Russia deployed to Ukraine's border that gives it that superiority over the Ukrainian forces?
It's safe to say that Russia has close to 100,000 troops or that sort of potential prepared for an invasion with reserves and auxiliaries. Much of this is pre-positioned equipment, and quite a few units don't have the personnel already there with them, but that can arrive on short notice. So the honest answer is that when you look at Russia's military buildup today, they are potentially weeks away from being able to conduct a large-scale military offensive.
And that weeks away, is that calendar based on Russian deployments of personnel or the weather or perhaps both?
So from my point of view, it's much more based on the forces that are still moving and the capabilities that are still en route towards Ukraine. There's a host of units moving from central Russia and the Russian Far East. There are amphibious assault ships that are actually currently in transit across Europe and the Mediterranean. They'll take some time to arrive to the Black Sea Fleet. And there's still quite a few components for military operation, like personnel and logistics, that aren't there yet.
This week, we've seen Russian troops arrive in Belarus, including an area just a few hundred miles north of Kyiv. What additional capacity does that provide Russia?
It's a significant development. I mean, it tells us that a Russian military operation is likely to be very large, and it won't just involve Ukraine's eastern regions. It will very likely involve a pincer movement to encircle Kyiv from both the northeast and the northwest, as Russia now has a substantial number of forces deployed in Belarus. And to the south, there's a sizable Russian military buildup in Crimea.
And so the strategic consequence of being able to encircle the capital is?
It suggests that one of their main political objectives may be to conduct regime change and then impose a political settlement on Ukraine. And this, by the way, if it sounds dark, it's actually one of the more optimistic scenarios. An alternative variant is that Russia actually intends to partition Ukraine.
We've seen other tactics and operations from Russia in the past, notably cyber operations, but also more use of special forces, so-called little green men. What are the capacities there, and what are the likelihood that Russia uses those instead of some traditional ground invasion?
At the end of the day, these conflicts are decided by large-scale conventional military operations. I think in any initial phase, you would see an air campaign combined with strikes and offensive cyber warfare. But that would likely be the initial phase, eventually followed up by an offensive ground force operation. They've already invaded Ukraine more than once, and they've already occupied and annexed Ukrainian territory too. And these efforts have clearly not been successful in achieving Russian political aims. So it's somewhat incredulous to believe that they would seek to attempt again that which has not worked.
Is there anything that you see that can forestall war?
The biggest problem is that it doesn't really look like Russia's diplomatic efforts particularly genuine. Russian demands are non-starters, and they seem almost designed to fail. And the latest meeting between Secretary Blinken and Lavrov suggests that Russia's very interested in receiving a formal refusal to its demands, much more than it is interested in actually achieving a diplomatic compromise.
Michael Kaufman, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your program.